Today on Grey's Anatomy, we talk kids are everywhere. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing the Grey's Anatomy After Show, episode Trigger Happy. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. And I have my panel back. Hello.
Oh, that's right. We're both back today. Yeah. Right, yeah. That's right. I'm Tara Johnson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagging Her Tail.
And I am Jay Howard. You can find me all things social media, JF Howard.
All right, trigger happy. Kids are everywhere in this
episode.
We didn't even realize it until we were kind of prepping for the show. We're like, man, there's kids in almost every freaking story.
What's the common denominator between all these stories?
The kids.
Yeah. Kids. All right, well, but real quick thoughts, trigger happy. What were your quick thoughts about this episode, Tara?
Unfortunately, I'm thinking trigger happy. I would not have thought kids were everywhere, but it was, sorry, that was not a good mix, but that's what happened in this episode. I thought it was good, sad, really sad notion, but, you know, also had its funny moments, too, but, it was pretty good. It moved everything along.
I thought it was a really good episode. I agree in a sad way, but overall, I thought it was effective. It was very emotional.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is what you want from the show, I think.
I think Grey's Anatomy did a great job of handling two different big concerning topics. When one, it comes to gun control.
Yeah.
And two, concerning kids. And then when you put it together, that's a dangerous mix.
Yeah.
And I think Grey's Anatomy did a great job of balancing out those two without being completely over the top, but still getting the message across.
Yeah. I think having an 8-year-old gunshot, you know, victim took it right to the heart. You know, I think it would have been a completely different thing if it had been an adult, a teenager, but an 8-year-old, it brought it right home.
And we'll get there, but let's quickly talk about April and Jackson. They were very civil in this episode.
Things were on the, you know, upswing.
Yes.
It's looking good.
Do you think this will last?
I don't even remember what we originally, what our, like, did we have a consensus prediction as to if the baby was going to bring them together or tear them apart? I don't know if we ever, as a panel, decided on that.
I don't think we had a consensus on whether it's going to bring them together. Or, you know, I think we were all talking about, we thought they were going to really get back together.
Yes, just them two.
Yeah.
So then what's our prediction now?
I think they will be civil, because that just seems to be the way they are. But I think it's X-nay on the relationship.
See, I don't think that this show does not let them just be kind of like civil friends. I feel like they're either going to hate each other or they're going to get back together. I feel like they'll probably get back together. At the end of it.
I don't know. I'll hold what I have to say to predictions.
Oh, snap.
Interesting. Okay. But I think it was good to see them fully civil in this episode.
Fully civil.
Because
just like normal people.
Even though the last two special episodes that we had last week, you know, they were fighting a lot.
Yeah.
And then they became civil. And then this was just like, all right, no yelling, no arguing. It was just, okay. Now April's in a good place where she wants to medically, you know, check her baby for health reasons and whatnot, which is a good turn on her, because that took her forever to even
a
get to that
time.
Point.
Yeah.
And then Jackson, and now she's even including Jackson in
which her, I thought was great, because in the beginning when she was like, I have this appointment, and when she didn't extend the invitation, I was like, come on, April, we can do
better. I think that was her extending it, though. That was her saying that was kind of like...
I mean, at the end of the episode, when she said, do you want to come? Yes. But in the beginning, when he was like, do you have this episode? I mean, did you have this appointment? And she was like, yes, let me know how it goes. I was waiting for her to go, well, do you want to come? You know, and she didn't say it then. I was like, come on, April.
I get that, but she did take that time to, like, maybe come around at the end.
Yeah, no, I was happy to see the come around.
Yeah.
I was happy to see that.
I like it. It gave us a semblance of hope for them, maybe. Mm-hmm.
As friends only.
No.
Friends. I'm just putting that out
that
there.
That sounds like a prediction on your
long-term
part.
Prediction only. Is that it's going to bring them back together.
I'm not the only
long-term
person
prediction.
To say this, though. Like, this week on the YouTube comments, there were several people who were like, you know, I just see them being friends. Like,
I don't see how that's an option. With everything they've been through, I don't think they can just be friends. I feel like they need to, as the season progresses, they're gonna have to either like take them totally out of each other's lives, or they're gonna have to bring them back together. I don't feel like Friends is an option after everything they've been through.
I'll hold it to predictions.
Okay.
I'm trying to force your hand. I'm like, no.
I know.
You must.
But I like them two together. Them talking, them coming together for their child.
Oh, that part, absolutely.
Totally. That was like a sweet, warm moment at the end.
Yeah.
Give them that. All right. Another relationship that's on the rocky end now, Miranda and Ben.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
When did she get such a... She's like in a bad mood.
Well,
she's... The whole episode. She's mean to everybody.
She's completely entitled to what Ben did last two episodes. What do we think of Ben going over Miranda's head, be like, hey, you're not the chief there. I can do whatever I want because I'm still an anesthesiologist and you don't have power there. So I'm still going to do this, still be in the OR. I still get to work and everything. Going over Miranda's head.
The thing of it is, I was so team Miranda last week. You know, I was like, she has to do. Bailey is chief, that kind of thing. And this week, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that... I get what she's saying. Look, you're supposed to be suspended. In order to get the true effect of suspension, that means you suspend all activity. Mm-hmm. But he has a point. Like, I'm still a licensed anesthesiologist. I won't be doing anything in the residency program. I think he took such a negative stance because some of the words that came out of her mouth this episode, I was like, Miranda, whoa.
But it was actually very warranted on her part.
I don't think so.
I feel like she's like on a power trip or something. I don't understand why she's so... So here's the deal. I understand her need to kind of make a point and to say, hey, I got to do what I got to do. But I feel like it's kind of more of like a, hey, you understand. I got to do what I got to do. You know how it is. But she's like she's getting crazy mad about, and she was mad about to who else? Callie. Later in the episode, she said something rude to her about chasing tail across the country.
Okay.
And
like, dude,
that was good.
What, you having a bad day? Why are you being mean to everybody?
No, but that was good. All right. So I'm going to stick up for Miranda because... I understand where Miranda's frustrated with Ben because Ben still going to work. Yeah, he needs to for his personal, ego, I guess. But it seems like Ben didn't learn anything of this of what he just did.
What was he supposed to learn?
But he's falling behind the residency program.
Didn't get disciplined enough to the point where he was supposed to be suspended from the residency program to learn a lesson. And him going immediately back into the OR, it seemed like he didn't learn anything at all.
I mean, I think, to me, it's a case of it's not what you say, it's how you say it. When he was like, I need to earn a living, and she was like, nobody's going to go hungry.
Nobody's going to go hungry, and it's true.
But
it's more than that.
That was like a dig to me to someone, and like their ego, their pride, like really trying to be hurtful to say that to him. That's why I thought, I was like, I can understand what she was saying. It was just how she came across
this
time. It was a little too much.
Okay, that's what I'm saying too, is like, you don't have to be, that's my point. If she came at it and basically said like, hey, look, there had to be consequences. Your action. I understand you're not a bad guy. I understand, I know you, but this is kind of what needs to happen. That would have been different than like saying like, what? Nobody's gonna go hungry. It's like, whoa! Why are you trying to be mean about it? He's just trying to.
But I get that too.
And if you do that, find some place to sleep.
Yeah, like all right.
What happened in church and state?
With all my money, I will go find an apartment.
So good.
Last week, they're supposed to have a separation of church and state.
I'm just frustrated with Ben. It seems like you guys are on Ben's side, so I'll take him around his side. But the way that Ben was going about it, he was so adamant that he was going to do this for himself. I get that. He has a personal, he has to do medicine for himself. I get that. But it seems like he still didn't learn his lesson, and it was the attitude in which he went about it, because he went, in a way, behind Miranda's back.
He did.
To go talk to Don Heller.
That's a good point.
Literally. He did. And then he went to go tell Miranda, because he already had this set in his mind. It's like, I'm going to do this, and now I'm telling you because I'm obligated to. You're my wife and my chief. And then it was Miranda who was very upset about this, which is warranted on her part, too. I get that. But also, he made the snarky remarks, you don't have power there. You don't have a say.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean...
And I think it was
he had to stand up for himself. I feel like she's on power trip mode or something right now.
In fairness, it was digging on both of their ends.
Oh, no, it was definitely digging on both their ends. And he didn't listen to... I mean, I love the Jackson-Warren bromance that's going on right now in the episodes. Yeah, that was fun. But he did not listen to his bro at all because he was like, how do you think that's going to work? And he was like, oh, I'm going to talk to Don and then I'll talk to him. He was like, okay, good luck with that.
And I think that's why I'm frustrated with Ben, because he's still in it for himself. And that's what I said last episode too.
I understand that.
Ben only thought about himself. He has a big ego power trip thing for him.
I just think he's
self-involved.
I think his ego is hurt. Like, this is the second time Miranda's commented.
Well, sometimes the ego has to be hurt to learn a lesson.
Because he also did the thing in the psych ward, like whenever that was.
Yeah.
Like,
he did that
6 episodes ago or whatever.
But I think some of it...
He got a slap on the wrist for that one, too.
That's true. I think so much of it started when Miranda was like, oh, I'm going to get somebody else to do my taxes because I make so much more, you know...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Money. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but it seemed like ever since then, you know... I definitely see what you're saying. I think they both came at it the wrong way, but I'm just going to say, Miranda took it straight to the jugular.
Yeah, like, she went too harsh. She came out swinging. She went too harsh.
I'm going to have to write a couple of those lines down and use them later on. Yeah, like, she was killing it.
So good, though.
Ain't nobody go hungry.
Like, she was killing it.
What in the world? Also, you got to remember, she's chief. Sometimes she has to be the bigger person.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think she was being the bigger person there, though. The bigger person would have said...
All right, maybe not the bigger person.
I don't agree with that.
But the person that has to be the dislikable one in this situation.
She was dislikable.
The question,
I think they were both dislikable.
Usually I'm cool with her. Usually I'm like, yeah, we're cool. I think you're funny. I think you're not. Yeah. She's like, man, you're just being mean.
I'm surprised she didn't go talk to Don Heller and, you know, go chief to chief and say, what are you doing? Do you know what this resident... I mean,
I bet you will.
That would have really, like, taken Ben's, like, character and reputation and destroyed it. And he probably knows. I mean, come on, that hospital's only so big. There's, something like that happened last week. There's no way the hospital doesn't know. But I'm curious to see if that will be
next week's episode.
Yeah, and there's no way that Ben told Don Heller what he just did. The reason why he's going back to anesthesia.
That's
going to
come back to bite him.
Something else is coming up with
that. For sure.
Ben, didn't learn his lesson in this episode, he's going to learn it eventually. All right.
Oh, Ben. Damn, Ben. Like we said last week. Ben, damn.
Yeah, seriously. Ben. No other word for him.
Damn.
Hashtag
damn. That reminds me, what was that? The damn Daniel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we were like, damn, Ben. Yeah,
damn, Ben.
Darn it. All right. Oh, well, let's talk about another relationship that's kind of actually more fun to watch. Edwards and Kyle. Kyle Diaz comes back.
He's kind of
We like this relationship?
He's kind of smooth. At first, I didn't like him. Smooth. And in this episode, I was like, all right, he's a pretty smooth dude. I'll give it to you.
He's so smooth.
I'm digging him.
Valderrama. And I met him. He's nice.
Just name dropping.
Nice looking, too.
He's very smooth.
He got a lot of swag.
I couldn't pay attention the whole episode because I wanted to know what that text said to Meredith.
Yeah, that's true. And I wanted to see that.
Because it let the audience use their imagination how dirty it was.
Was as dirty as your mind can go.
She wouldn't have said, she did.
It is that big. Big plans.
As dirty as you want it to be.
I love this. I loved how Meredith was, like, even, you know, helping push this relationship together.
I will say I like this because what we've seen from Stephanie last couple of episodes is she's such this confident person and, you know, like, I'm the star resident kind of thing. And she had to admit this episode, okay, on paper, I'm fantastic. But in person, awesome. I am kind of like not. So I really appreciated that vulnerability from her character because we just haven't seen that from Stephanie.
Well, yeah, because wasn't it like a few, it was a few episodes back where she talked about how she was the, you know, cheerleader, the popular girl in high school. So she grew up that way. And then, she kind of admitted that she was feeling the pressure of the expectations that came with a relationship like this. I'm trying to think recently. Has she had any other love interests recently?
Not since Jackson left her at the altar. I mean, when he ran away, you know, with April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but I
thought you got lower.
Yeah. I was trying to wait for the right moment.
I probably shouldn't have pointed that out, I was like, we're just going
to wait to the right moment.
But I like this because maybe sometimes it does take someone to, like, maybe point out flaws, But have someone just like, okay, realize what they're doing, calm them down. Yeah. Like, maybe, yeah, like keep them in check.
We'll see. I mean, I definitely, if he's going to come around.
Challenge more so.
He's definitely challenging her.
He's challenging her. I think that's good to have someone challenge Edwards, because she's the one that's always challenging other people.
Or trying.
Actually, you think about it, he's a pretty good fit for her character. Yeah. Kind of like she's kind of like really strong and always challenging people, like you said, and he's a little, he's like smooth, confident, you know, like, which probably pisses her off a little bit, you know, like it's he the makes opposite her
nervous.
Of her. Right. Yeah,
he makes her really nervous. Yeah.
But that's what makes it fun.
No, it makes it great. And I think it's perfect for her to have someone outside of medicine, because she is such the rock star in the hospital. So to have somebody who comes to a complete right on outside. The stage. He took her to his OR this
time. Oh, he did. He operated on her.
Oh.
Get it?
Yes, he did.
He made his move.
He did.
That was an awesome studio.
It was a pretty
We know, is he staying on the show? Like, is he booked?
He has like three to five. Don't quote me. I'm sorry, you guys. But what is in the news? It says a multiple episode arc.
Okay.
I don't think there's a set amount of how many.
Episodes. Is he on any other shows right now? I'm trying to think if he has any other shows going on.
He has that Dust to Dawn.
Dust to Dawn?
Or something like all that.
Okay.
I like them together. I like him on the show.
I like him on the show.
I wasn't so sure the first episode, but now I, you know.
I liked him in the first episode. I was like,
not because of that.
Smooth guitar player.
Oh, we're not liking him because of that?
Well, you can, I guess, but I'm trying to be
I'm definitely
objective.
Liking him because of that. I'm just saying.
I'm a consummate professional here. I don't think about those things.
I am an appreciation. I appreciate men's beauty. I'm just, you know, it's God's creation. That's
I liked how he, in the first episode, he was like, trying so hard to get Edwards.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't think it was that cat and mouse game, and it's still kind of going, but it's still kind of there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think I'm
and then
I'm
they started making out. Woo! Sexy.
And it just went. I was like, wait a minute, did they do it? Was in the text message? We want to know.
They just ramped up. Oh, maybe they
did. It amped up. Hey-o.
The move. He didn't even have to play this time.
Y'all need to leave room for Jesus.
He didn't even have to play or anything this time.
He didn't.
There you go.
I was like, boy, get a room. With the bed.
They had his room.
With the bed.
With the bed. Speaking of beds.
Speaking of beds.
Talk to us.
You guys know what's a great place to get beds?
Talk to me.
Bed mattresses?
No. What is the great place?
Casper.com.
Check it out.
They are amazing. If you guys don't know Casper, for those who don't sleep well or need beds like they did, go to Casper.com and use the AfterBuzz TV promo code. And there you can actually get $50 towards your purchase of a Casper mattress. But the great thing is they have this awesome deal where, you know, if you go to a store with mattress stores and whatnot, and you only test it out for like 2 minutes around a bed, that's not enough time to realize, hey, this is the mattress for me. But their deal is that you can pick any mattress you want and use it for 100 nights. That's about 3 months.
What? Yeah. Really? That's crazy.
100 nights. And after 100 nights, you can decide if you want to keep the mattress or not. And if you don't, it's completely free. They will ship it and refund, and there's like refunds and everything, and no cost to you.
Really?
Yeah.
I can roam around and hunt for 100 nights.
It's awesome.
Crazy.
You're just gonna cycle through.
I'm just saying.
It's all on them. But so, you know, if you need a mattress, go to Casper.com. Use the promo code AfterBuzzTV for $50 towards your purchase.
Do it.
Write it down.
Casper.com.
There you go.
We need mattresses. I need a mattress.
I need a mattress. Mattress right now. It's been a long day.
Well, 100 days I can
Casper,
buy it for free.
Casper, can you bring one?
Edwards and Kyle need a mattress.
It's true.
Well, they might need two or three after, I don't know, after 100 days.
They should
just saying.
Yeah. They should use the promo code AfterBuzzTV.
Make sure you use that promo code.
All right. So, there was a good story of levity between the seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get real. Let's get serious. We had the whole Trigger happy storyline. Not so happy because Trigger was involved.
Yeah.
So we had the patient Brandon, two 8-year-old boys. We had Brandon and Peter. And they were, this was just so sad. How do we even start this? Brandon gets shot because they weren't being fully watched by that babysitter. Poor babysitter. Who took her eyes off of the kids for two minutes and found the mother's gun They were playing with it. Brandon gets shot.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what do we think of just the storyline and how it just really emotionally affects all the doctors there? Even those who weren't even involved on this case, they're like, let's not talk about it, let's be happy. It was just amazing that there was such this type of storyline affected so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me think of, because, you know, I thought it was really weird when the ambulance was coming in, everybody was standing out there, and Alex was like, we got it. I just need, like, two or three particular people, you know what I mean?
True, yeah.
And everybody stood there waiting just to kind of see what was going on, because they heard it was going to be an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. So, and it really just kind of permeated through the entire hospital, affecting probably, I want to say everybody, but definitely Maggie. It would really affect Maggie.
And she had that
Maggie.
Really kind of weird confrontation with the sitter where she was trying to blame.
Yes, okay.
I guess she was just upset because she told Meredith later on, which is really emotional and kind of like heartbreaking, when she said, I don't know how you do it with kids. Yeah. Like, my heart is so open and they're so fragile. Which really was like, made me start thinking, I don't have kids. I was like, man, it's going to be so hard when you have kids and you're worried about everything they do.
Yeah.
But I guess she's just trying in that moment when she's talking to the babysitter just to
figure
to cope,
out.
Like to deal with it, to have someone to blame.
Yeah, but what do you think of Maggie kind of being as confrontational as she was and crossing that kind of line?
I thought it was definitely crossing the line.
But, like, to have the audacity to go up to the babysitter, who's obviously emotionally wrecked
as
well.
Yeah, she's in shock, too.
And pretty much being very accusatory.
I don't even think she was really talking to the babysitter.
Unintentionally accusatory.
Yeah, I don't think
she was just trying to figure out herself.
I think she was told. I think it was totally about her.
And she's like just grasping on to like, can I blame you? Can I like what can I do?
What are you doing for that amount of time for the kids to find a gun and shoot it?
Mm. I think it was all about her, because she said later in the episode how she was watching Meredith's son and she turned away for 2 seconds and he threw it dumped flour. A whole bag of flour. So I think it was more of a thing of just utter shock of how quickly something can happen, even if you were doing a good job. Because I thought the babysitter did a fine, like I didn't see her, hear her say anything to make me believe that she was being negligent at all. Like it was, they're 8 years old, you know, you can turn around. Like you can't keep your eye on kids 24/7 mm-hmm. as much as we all want to when we're taking care of them. And it's a fear that a babysitter has, but she seemed to be pretty confident with these kids and knew these kids. It was a freak accident.
Mm-hmm. It was
just a really bad accident, and Maggie just went for her. But I don't think it was about the poor babysitter, but that babysitter's gonna need counseling after that, because it was just
seriously,
it was horrible.
It was really sad, and unfortunately Brandon is now paralyzed.
There's a little bit of hope. I have hope.
Yeah. Fortunately he makes it and he's still alive, but he's paralyzed. It hit his spinal cord, but poor Peter. During this.
Man, that one mom had that line of like, you're trying to make my son a murderer right in front of her son. You might want to chill just a little bit on that.
You made him a murderer.
That emotion between those two moms when the ambulance and the cars were coming in and they were sitting there almost going, wait, is your kid? Is it my kid?
Yeah.
And when she realized, Peter's mom realized it wasn't Peter, she was like, oh, thank God. I was like, I know she didn't mean it the way it came across. I mean, she was really thankful it wasn't her kid, but it made it sound like, thank goodness it's your kid and not mine.
You know what I mean?
It wasn't at all what she intended, but I can just, the panic that you must feel as a parent when you hear something like that and you not know if it's your kid or not, I was just like, I was floored. I was like, I don't know how you handle it. I don't know how you handle it.
I know. And I hope, you know, none of us would, or like anyone really would go through that situation to handle it.
Yeah. It was horrible.
I do have to say, I didn't really like, I guess I didn't really understand what they were trying to get at with the moral judgment on the gun stuff of like when they're trying to talk to the mom and it's like, you know, the kids watch everything you do. Like, okay, I don't think that she was trying, like, I don't think she's, if the gun was locked up, she wasn't being careless. I mean, it was an accident. Accidents happen. We live in a you know, not a perfect world, and things happen like that. You know what I mean? Like, you could say the same thing for a butcher knife. You know what I mean? So it's like I kind of got confused. It's like, what kind of moral point are you trying to make here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes from, and I have to lift my chair again. I'm sorry. So I'll do it as
I
talk.
Yeah, I saw you sinking. I didn't know if you were getting mad at me. No, I'm going to get out of here.
I think, I mean, gun control is such a sensitive topic, especially when it comes to, like, family and when you have kids. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think I grew up in the South, but I didn't grow up in the South being comfortable with guns and having guns around. I know, Jay, like, you grew up in Texas, and it's a different kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of involves your perspective on gun control and whether you should have them in the house with the kid. And it's a personal, you know, personal decision. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, Jay, you tell me, you growing up in a home with, like, guns being around, everyone's very open about it. In this family, she didn't tell her. Yeah, she wasn't. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell the kids. She didn't talk to the kids about what, you know, at least we didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
About what you do and what you don't do involving it kind of thing. Like, maybe that's part of it also if you're going to have a gun in the household, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I mean, I know everyone on the episode seemed very against it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make a bright line of whether it's right or wrong. I think it's just
a fine line. Yeah, it's also just like how people grew up and
perspective.
What's accustomed to them if they feel protected. Like Jo, we get more about her backstory because we know she grew up on the streets and when she didn't have the best way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And we see her character, even like, I had this to protect myself because that's all I had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've outgrown it.
And I think, and like, I mean, for those of you guys out there who don't know, I grew up in Texas. So my whole family were, you know, aunts and uncles and friends. I mean, hunting was huge. You know, everyone had multiple guns. And I mean, it's the South. So most people have guns in their home, in their cars. They carry guns. And I think, so just from a moral place, it just seemed kind of weird that, to me, it just seemed kind of off that having a gun was just wrong. You know what I mean? And when it's like, well, no. It's wrong if you don't do it responsibly. You know, if you don't take your kids aside and teach them and say, hey, this is a very, you know, fragile thing. It's a very important thing that you need to treat with a lot of respect. You know, that's if you don't do those things, then that's wrong. But everyone on the show, all the characters, were just like, you have a gun? You're a bad person. And to me, it's just kind of, well, I don't. That's kind of like jumping. Or jumping the gun a little bit, you know.
Yeah. But in fairness, they didn't really exactly say you're a bad person. I think they were more upset about what you said. The prior is that it was used irresponsibly.
Yeah, and I think we have to also remember,
with juveniles,
and in with that
minors
OR, right? There was Alex in that OR. There was Amelia.
Yeah, they had a lot of background. Their characters.
There was Owen. You know, Owen being in the war. Mm-hmm. His, you know, view on guns. Amelia's father was killed, right, by a gunman when she was, however, you know, old, when she and Derek were
Karev,
in their jury. Yeah,
very against it because he was shot.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I think it has to come from perspective and what your experience has been with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess to me it's just like, don't make it all about, like, the fact that, oh, you have a gun and that's bad. That. You're a bad person for that. Instead, it's like, you know, have a gun, treat it with respect, make sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Have a sober mind that while you have this and you know, what do you have it for hunting? Do you have it for, you know, make decisions about why you have it and do it really intelligently.
But can I ask this question based on that? What about Jo having the gun in the home with she and Alex and Alex not knowing anything about it?
That caught
me off guard. Like, wait a minute, whoa.
Alex was also very upset about that too. But I liked how they resolved it in the end. Because she even, like, not to keep repeating ourselves, but she even said, like, I outgrew it. I don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I liked how she came with that realization that, like, yeah, she used it responsibly for herself personally. And now she's even being more responsible of getting rid of it too.
Right.
Yeah.
She's in a different place.
It was wrong of her not to, because I mean, at the end of the day, you're two adults.
That was wrong.
He's, you know, in that house all the time. He should have known, been informed, so that he could make his decision, you know, about if he's cool with that or not, and if, you know, he can make his decision to tell her to get rid of it or he's going to leave,
but
you know.
But in fairness, isn't that her place from the get-go?
Yeah, but he still should have been informed.
Yes, very true. But you got to remember, that was technically her place first. So she's probably had that gun before Karev even moved in.
True, but I think if you're going to have somebody come in.
I get it, but it's about, like, letting you know, hey,
like, here's what's going on.
I have this in my house.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And then he can say, like,
literally
look,
under a bed.
I'm not going to be here if the gun's here, so you can either be me here or the gun here.
Yeah.
You choose, you know.
about no secrets between those.
Yeah,
two.
Especially not airing that. Airing that out in the OR could not have been.
And like you said, yeah, with all of the background that people in those characters people. Had, obviously it's a sensitive subject.
Yeah, I even loved Krev during the operation. He's like, "Let's focus. Let's not talk about this. Mm-hmm. We have to keep doing our job right now."
Yeah, because it probably takes him to a place too. Yeah, I don't even want to go into that. But yeah, after, remember he got shot, he wouldn't get on the elevator, and it was like this whole thing. So it probably takes him to a different place.
I'm glad that he
too.
Mentioned that, because honestly, I had forgotten that until he said, like, you know, I'm in chat before. I was like, oh, shoot, that's right. Okay, I forgot about that whole thing with all the characters, you know?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
But, okay, so what do we think of Amelia talking to Peter at the end? And helping him, because he's so young, so impressionable, and this is a very traumatic experience for him. Afraid that this kid is probably going to lose his best friend, who can't walk, can't ride bikes anymore. Yeah. Oh, that was heartbreaking. But Amelia telling him one of the best lines, "It was an accident, I didn't mean to." Like this mantra that you have to like tell yourself, you were kids,
right?
Didn't mean to.
I'm going to give Amelia double kudos on this episode. And I think I gave her kudos last episode too.
So we're at kudo level 3.
Right, for Amelia, because she came through when it came to Peter. And then she used the same line again
on Owen.
But it was still effective and necessary. And it wasn't at any time. And it would have been, I think, really easy for her character to bring it back to herself. But she didn't. Because that's what Amelia does a lot. And that's the thing that bothers me about her sometimes, is she brings everything back to her. But in both these situations, it was not about her at all. She was definitely there for Peter. She was definitely there for Owen. Double kudos from me to Amelia.
You let him know.
Right. That's all I want. That's a lot. Just saying.
Look at you.
I'm gonna give it up when it. You gotta give it up when you have to give it up.
I know. You do. I was like, you guys know me. I root for Amelia every week, and these last 2 weeks, she's so on point.
Yes, she's been because I normally am not a huge.
I know.
Her kind of going back and forth annoys me sometimes, but she was good. She did a good job, and you know what?
I root for her.
At the end of the day, what she said is right. It's like, hey, look, this is nobody's fault. These things happen.
Yeah,
it was an accident. And you just remind yourself of that every single time.
Yeah, whenever you feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 8. He's going to run that over in his head over and over and over again. Yep. Yeah. But he'll never forget that conversation.
And we learn
it was great.
So right. And we probably learned the last, hopefully, final piece of the puzzle between the Owen Riggs.
Gah. Please.
And his sister.
Please.
I think, to me, that is... I mean, that's like the most annoying storyline.
Why are we spending more time on this?
Yeah.
Was that it? Was that the final piece and be like, okay.
It's been like 5 times where we've been like, okay, this one's.
Finally, Owen, are you coming around to realize that you, not to put all the blame on you, but like it was your suggestion to get onto the helicopter?
Right. But we hope now it's all out. Let's get it all out.
Yes.
But in the open.
Just get it all out.
You know what I mean? Let's get it out. Let's deal with it. Let's move on.
No, it's just too late to the point. We don't care anymore.
Yeah. They stretch it out too long. If that would have happened over the course of like three episodes.
Been great.
Done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Done. Not 7.
Yeah. Owen, you got it off your chest. Let's woo-saw. You didn't mean it. You have your mantra. Let's move on.
Congratulations. You didn't mean to.
You didn't mean to. Let's move on. That's what I say.
It all culminates. That's what's funny is it all culminates into that.
That's it.
Not even that big of a thing, you know.
You didn't mean to.
Hopefully that debacle.
You didn't mean to.
Is over.
There you go.
But didn't another debacle that's about to happen.
Oh no.
Arizona.
Oh gosh.
And Cali. Cali. Okay. What do we think of? For the most part, they were fairly. Civil. I don't want to keep saying the word civil. There's got to be another word. But they were... Cali. How she approached the situation with Arizona.
Yeah.
Moving. They had their nice sit down at the whatever coffee place
that
they
were in.
It started nice.
It went awry pretty quickly.
Yeah. But moving, uprooting Sophia to New York. Or wherever she's
going. I can't understand how Cali... Yeah. Thinks that Arizona's just gonna be like cool with it. You know what I mean? Like she's baffled that Arizona is upset about it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's your kid. Why wouldn't she be mad? You know what I mean?
But I think she was trying to couch it and say, I had every intention to talk to Arizona. I was trying to, like, just get everything set up. So if she had questions for me, I'm going to have answers. Where is Sophia going to go to school? Will I pick these two schools? How is she going to get there? I'm going to work. I'm going to take a job at NYU in Columbia, and I'm going to work less hours. I think in her mind, that's what she thought she was doing. But it came across to Arizona, and it came across to these ears when I heard it as... you trying to take the woman's child and not include her on these decisions. I mean, that's just, to me, how it came across.
Because that's how
it went down.
Because we didn't see, it was like, even last week's episode when we saw Callie make this decision, it was pretty much set. Like, done, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Without any word from Arizona. But I loved how even Miranda calls Callie out, like, chasing tail across the country. You're not even going to be chief of ortho over there. You're literally giving up. You are top dog here at this hospital. Mm-hmm. You're giving up your career for a person who's just a freaking resident right now.
To chase tail.
But it's like, good on you, Miranda.
Whoa. But the thing of it is that I think in the Callie Penny situation, maybe that's applicable. But also but Miranda says that, to me, she's telling a little bit how she feels about her relationship with Ben, because they're in the same exact situation, which kind of says, I'm not going to chase Ben. I am the chief. Ben is the resident. He's going to have to follow
she's
me.
Projecting.
You know what I mean? It was kind of projecting kind of thing. Which,
a little bit.
I mean, the
transference.
Yeah, it was a transfer. I mean, the comment was harsh to
it
the
was.
Point. And it's something that normally, let's be honest, it's something that Callie would say to somebody in a heartbeat. Like, that is a Callie statement in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And it took her a minute to swallow and digest it. But it did. I was like, Miranda, are you talking about them? Are you talking about yourself? Like, what's going on?
How long, real quick, let's think about this. How long have Callie and Callie and Penny been together? Like, seriously together?
I don't think
it's been that long
to
move across the country.
In the time span of what their relationship is within all these episodes, it's probably maxed out to like about 2 years now.
2 years?
Yeah, because there's all the time jumps.
But like we went back and forth on YouTube this week. Thank you guys, trying to figure out the exact time span. But because I mean, there was 2 years. They did the 2 years. With
two
Derek.
Years enough to move across country.
But they've been together though. Because they weren't together right when she moved.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
It took them a little while.
It doesn't feel like that long, but I think it's
like
supposed
maybe
to be that long.
Approximately a year and a half.
Something like
years.
See, that's so weird. If you were to ask me, just said like, what do you think? I would have said like 6 months.
I'd say 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 months for us in real time.
Yeah. Right. But like watching the show, I would have said within the show's timeline, I would have expected they've been together maybe 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
so I guess if it's been that long, then yeah, maybe. I don't know, just moving across the country. Here's my thing. If your relationship was started in Seattle and the child has lived in Seattle and the whole life has been built in Seattle and then all of a sudden you decide to move,
mm-hmm.
with it, because she, think about that, she got the information about New York and then decided to move within like 7 days. And it's like, this child's been in Seattle for years. And you made this entire decision in a week. Sorry, the kid's staying here, and you're the one that has to make arrangements to come see her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the thing that was, it felt rushed. I think it was supposed to be, this episode was supposed to be like a month. Because when Ben was like, I've been at home the last month.
Oh, that's true.
I've been at home the last month. It's driving me crazy.
We have another time jump. Shoot.
So, but even in a month's time, I'd expect Callie to come back and go, we found an apartment, we found this. I mean, I think Arizona might have been okay to talking until she got that phone call from that school with the application, because those applications are serious. Like, you have to put some real work and time and effort into that.
I just don't think, I don't understand why is the assumption that Sophia is gonna move, and like, why is the assumption that Callie gets the Sophia?
And why
is that the assumption?
That's a very good question.
And that's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah,
because I feel like the assumption should be like, no, Sophia's staying here, and we can talk about her coming out to New York to visit you.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why Arizona's frustrated, because Callie, again, jumped the gun.
Yeah.
And she even said that.
She jumped.
And I'm like, I liked how Callie came to that realization, like, hey, I was very proactive, very assuming, it was just very presumptuous on her part,
right,
thinking that Arizona would be okay with this.
But do we think that Callie said that? I mean, don't get me wrong, I think she was sincere, But I thought her coming back and saying that was also a little bit of a ploy to get Arizona to like back down. Like, okay, well, I'm here's sorry. The deal.
Like, I don't think she was insincere when she came to say that. I think that she was honestly, I think she was sincere. I think she's honestly apologizing, but she was apologizing with the assumption that like, hey. Like, I know I should have done this a different way. Right. Yeah. I'm still going to get what I want.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
We're still doing my freaking plan. Yes, but yes. I'm sorry that, like, you know, that offended you.
Yeah, here's his apology.
Of course,
yeah,
I wouldn't make any decisions without you. Like, right. Girl, like, you well, already did.
It's like, but, so I would just know that I would never make any decisions about you. So, she'll be moving next month. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
But
yeah, that's how it felt.
Arizona. Like, well, you don't have to talk to me.
Boom.
You can call my lawyer.
Give me that card.
Give the card, yo. And give the card.
Kelly was like, you already talked to a lawyer? Like, no, you started this. You started this, Kelly.
That's it. Two fingers. Right. Give the card. Give
you
the card.
You started this.
And then drop it and then deuce.
Walk away. That's it.
Freaking
drop
deuce the card.
Because it was. Like, all right.
I'm not talking about it. She was like, if we didn't even look at her, I'm not even talking about this anymore.
As she should have.
And I think that it ended on a great, just between those two, it was like just dead silence.
Yep.
They're what freaking, else? There's nothing and Callie was staring her down just like.
That tension, you could cut it with a knife.
I don't know what else there is to say. Here's the card. Because
there was nothing to say.
Here's the card.
And she two-fingered it.
Right.
Yeah, she did.
I'm not even giving the whole hand.
Right.
You don't deserve
fingers.
It.
Get these two fingers. Get this card.
Yep. And that was that. All right. Anything else about this episode we may have missed? Would love to talk about.
I don't think so, but you guys let us know because we know you will call us out and let us know.
Just let us know, New York or Seattle. Where should Sophia live?
Oh, that's a good one. Good one. New York or Seattle?
Seattle.
That's not a fair question.
Why not?
Because there are people who grew up in New York and love New York and never would want to go to Seattle.
Okay, well then we'll say she live in Cali or should she live in Arizona? Let's say Callie is moving to Kansas, wherever. Should she live? Should she move somewhere
else?
Should she
stay? Let's not call out any specific state right now. Like hypotheticals here, because I'm from the Midwest. But I think it's more so. Callie has to realize that she's giving up a top dog position at a hospital for a resident.
Here's the thing. That's fine. That's fine. Do that.
That's her
prerogative.
But
don't make the decision for your kids as well.
But don't. That's the thing. Do it. With Sophia, without the other parental figures, consent.
I've never, except for a couple of episodes way back when I think Bailey became chief resident and Callie and Bailey were both up for it. It's never seemed to me that Callie's character has ever cared about being chief and that kind of thing. Like, she's very much about
like comfortable in being her and where she is.
She likes the work, she likes the bones, she likes the cutting and the sawing and all that kind of stuff, you know. And she's very much about love, you know. She's very emotional, goes with her emotions. I'm not surprised that she's following Penny. Like, I just her character to me is just seems like, oh, all right, and when I'll take less hours and, you know, do whatever. She seems to be after love. I don't think she ever thought anything of it.
And you know what, and like maybe not all, but like a lot of women, just women in general, and I can say this because I am a woman, but a lot of them, when it comes to career choices, a lot of them tend to choose things that make them more happy than more, like, wealthy or financially
money
successful.
Yeah, powerful.
They tend to, the majority, make decisions on happiness instead. So maybe this is what Callie's doing, is she's choosing for happiness.
She seems to be choosing happiness. I don't know. I mean, I understand Miranda's comment based on Miranda. Like I said before, that just never felt like Callie's character to me.
Hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. Okay, so let's get to predictions then.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right,
game time decision. Do you think Callie will actually go through with this and move to New York?
No.
I say no, but only because the court will not allow her, and it's going to get ugly.
I say she may. I bet we're going to have an emotional. Yeah. Penny's going. They're at the airport. She drops her bags. I can't do it. And she turns around.
Really? Wow.
That's how it's going to go down.
Wow, that's good.
That's dramatic.
That's good.
That's how it's going to go down.
I see a lot of dirt slinging. Like, you know.
A lot of mud slinging?
Like, earlier this season when Arizona was out and about doing her thing and hooking up everywhere, I think that's going to come back. I think even how Sophia was conceived and the fact that, you know, Callie and Mark was having their like Mark. Right, you know, we're having like this casual sexual thing. I think all that's gonna come out. I think a lot of stuff is gonna come out. Oh, unfortunately,
man. They're gonna open up that can of worms. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be horrible.
April and Jackson, will those two end up together at the end of the season?
Not by the end of the season, though.
No.
Okay. No.
By the end of this show, they'll be together.
Yeah.
The end of the season.
Yeah, I think so.
I say no.
All
right. I just say no because I think Jackson's going to get comfortable and he and April are going to get in a good spot. Mm-hmm. And I do think Jackson wants to move on in his life, and I think sooner or later he's going to date again and April's going to flip.
All right. Miranda and Ben, do you think that they will split up by the end of the season?
No.
I don't even know how to call that right now. Miranda keeps with those statements. I don't know. They keep coming to blows like this. I don't know.
They have a strong relationship, and they just like to. They're both tough. You know, they're both fighters, and they fight. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know about this one.
It's hard when you pit alphas against each
other. Yeah, I don't know about this one. And now that he's back in the OR. Being an anesthesiologist and not under her thumb any longer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can't call it.
Yep. I'm not worried about it.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, let us know, you guys, and let us know your predictions, your thoughts of this episode. Do you agree with us? Let us know. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. In the meantime, where can everyone keep following you?
You can follow me, all things social media, JF Howard.
You can find me at TJ falling in the chair. No, I'm just kidding.
Sinking.
Find me at TJ wagging her tail.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here at AfterBuzzTV on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are now on Snapchat. Oh. Yes, we're moving up in the world, you guys.
Hey.
At AfterBuzzTV. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Rate, comment, subscribe, download all those fun things. iTunes, YouTube. Check out our new website.
Oh, yeah.
AfterBuzz, yeah, we just launched the new website yesterday.
Check out the new website.
It's been a ride. The launch
get
in
that
there.
Casper I'll mattress. Just say that.
And get the Casper
get
mattress.
The Casper
use
mattress.
The promo code AfterBuzzTV. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.